Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And this is the most important part of the show because we gather together as a praying family about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And whether you're part of humanity or a manatee, you are very, very welcome to this next section. So let's find out who is our prayer warrior partner today.
In the studio with us again is the head producer for Archangel Radio, Mr. Mike Romano.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Mr. Mike Romano, are you sure you are a part of humanity as opposed to a manatee?
I'm not worthy.
Mike, first of all, let's ask about your dear wife. How is she?
Doing much better, just resting right now, but just having to adjust to a life of using a walker and trying to get around, get maneuvering around the house. And so we're obviously, you know, helping her along, and it's going to be a 3-month road to recovery. But as I told her yesterday, I said, you know, last year, you know, you get the cancer diagnosis, and remember the four most important words we have to remember here is, "This too shall pass." So.
Absolutely. No, that's the spirit, Mike. Well, it won't take Hercule Poirot or Sherlock Holmes to work out which intention you're maybe going to have in one of your mysteries, at least today. But just to let anybody who is listening wondering what is this, Mike and I are about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet here live on air on Archangel Radio. And we're inviting you to join us. And there are two ways in which you can do so. You can telephone the station on 888-928-0881. Reed will take your call, and you can come on air, or you can just leave your message with Reed and we will pray for you. It can be anonymous, you can leave your name, leave your initials, whatever way you want to do it. Alternatively, you can text the show direct on 251-928-2111. Just let us know who or what it is you want us to pray for, and there you go. That's it. We're praying for you. Okay, well, I guess, Mike, we better pick up our beads and pray.
Let's get this thing rolling.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, that's us up and running. So for this first decade, Mike, who or what would you like us to pray for?
For the first decade, obviously, I'd like to pray for my wife, Jennifer, for her leg to heal and for her ability to that she'll get used to being comfortable with being uncomfortable, as we so often say. And for my kids, as they begin this school year, that they will be patient with their mom, and that Jen will be patient with herself as she helps them with their schoolwork. They're homeschooled, so.
Okay, well, I think that's the right spirit, Mike. Let's really concentrate this decade on Jennifer, her particular situation, and how that impacts on the family at this time. And we pray for an abundance of patience to break out in the Mike Romano household.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, we had a text in late yesterday. It was a little bit too late for us to add into the show. And Sherry, it's not Sherry. It's an anonymous. It doesn't say who it's from. I think Sherry, who works here, replied to it. Anyway, it's asking for prayers for Rosemary, and who's 9 months old, so little Rosemary, for Mimi and Pete, who is Peter's grandchild. And there's also prayers requested for somebody who is having their second kidney surgery. So apologies if I've got any of those names wrong, but Rosemary, who's 9 months, Mimi, Peter, and Pete, somebody is having second kidney surgery. And anyway, the Lord knows who you are, and we are praying for you this morning. Thank you so much for your text, Archangel, and we'll offer up this second decade for a successful surgery, and for the Lord to smile on all those little children.
Amen. Definitely.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, this is our third decade, and I return to you, Mike. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Yes, I'd like to pray for the nurse that checked us out yesterday. I think her name is Kathy. She has cancer, and she has the type of blood type of cancer, which is triple negative, which the doctors have a hard time developing a chemo treatment for, so it'll attack the cancer cells. And it's, I know she was in a lot of pain, yesterday, and I'm sure. And, So it's really, I know it's really tough for her. So I pray for her. You know, oftentimes we think we've got it bad, but there's always somebody that has it, you know, worse. And so it just gives a lot of perspective. So I pray for people like Kathy and other patients who are all the patients out there who are suffering from cancer.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful prayer, Mike, and it's also a wonderful observation. You're right. We often do think we are suffering in some ways. I told the story on the air of I was walking past a children's hospital and I was feeling, I forget what it was, I was feeling down in the dumps about something, and I glanced over outside the children's hospital and there in the pouring rain stood a man with his little daughter, and she was in a wheelchair and she was very, very badly disabled as the rain poured down on them both waiting for a bus. And I thought, I have got no problems.
No
problems. That wonderful example of a father loving his daughter. Okay, well, let's pray for Kathy. Let's pray for all cancer sufferers, but specifically for Kathy, if you're listening to this, we're praying for you and giving thanks for all your service that you give in the wonderful profession, which is nursing.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, for this fourth decade, we've had a text in from Karen. Good morning to you, Karen. And Karen has sent us a big list of people and things to pray for. And Karen, we're really, really grateful to you. First of all, she says, good morning and blessings for all at Archangel Radio. Absolutely. Thank you for that, Karen. And then she says, praying for the Roberts family whose mother passed away this weekend. May she rest in peace. We're also praying for Annette Nolan and her healing. Praying for Annette this morning now. And Karen goes on to say, praying for total and complete healing for medical situations I am having. Karen, we pray for you today. Whatever your medical needs are, whatever your healing needs are, we're offering you to the Lord and asking that the divine mercy be merciful to you today. Karen goes on then to ask for prayers for Father Nicholas, who is the new pastor at St. Pius X in Mobile, Alabama. So, Father Nicholas, if you're listening to this, welcome. And we're praying for you now at St. Pius X, praying that your ministry there will be fruitful and that everybody you come into contact with will see the attractiveness of holiness, not only in your life, but in the life of the parish, in the life of the church. And we pray for an outbreak of sanctity in the parish of St. Pius X in Mobile, Alabama. And Karen goes on to say, thank you so much, Jesus, I trust in you. Well, we all trust in Jesus on this show, that's for sure, Karen. And we thank you so much for getting in touch and allowing us to pray for all these intentions. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. So I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Mike, for you to load up this fifth decade with as many intentions as we can possibly do. But before we do, we turn to Reed. Reed, is there anyone, anything you'd like us to pray for in this fifth and final decade?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who is on the fence between joining RCIA or not joining it. Just so everybody knows, it's a very long process leading up to the actual time that you are committed. So we start at the beginning of September, and then the actual date that you're expected to decide whether you want to become a Catholic at Easter or not is not until February. So plenty of time to come and attend the classes, learn as much as you can, even if you're not considering becoming Catholic now. And really the time that that's not available anymore is a long time from now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm gonna ask you both, Mike and Reed, in two sentences each, what would you say to anybody who's listening to this, who's sitting on the fence? Let's start with you, Mike. What would you say to that person who's listened to Reed and thought, maybe? What would be the final push over the fence from Mike?
Come on in, the water's warm.
There's no manatees.
There's no manatees. Now,
it's just humanity.
You know, how important is truth to you? And if it's important, if you've seen the evidence, you know, from your past however many months that you've been a part of RCIA, it's a journey, and God wants you on this journey. I mean, we're just scratching the surface of our faith as a Catholic for X amount of years. I can tell you, I'm still learning. God wants you to be a part of His Holy Catholic Church. So come on in.
Mm. Wonderful. What about you, Reed? What would you say to that waverer, that fence sitter?
Well, it's interesting, Kevin, because what I observe for people who aren't sitting on the fence is that they are ready to dive in head first. They want to read multiple hours a day about being Catholic. They want to learn everything they can, and they want to understand everything they can. And I want the people who aren't ready to do that to know, kind of like I was saying earlier, that's not a requirement. Once you begin to receive the sacraments, it's more of a thing that you'll be expected to do. But there's a long time between the time for discernment and the time for commitment.
Absolutely. So there you have it. If you're sitting on the fence, you've had the words of wisdom from both Mike and Reed. To me, what I would say is, well, the collection plate's been a little bit low in the last few weeks, so we can do with some extra help. join us at a church near you. Listen, it's the best decision you'll ever make. We know that. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you will know that. Okay, now before I come to Mike for the final word, I'm just going to put out a shout out to the 11 people who came forward with the brilliant idea of consecrating this show, this network, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's David, Jim C, Chuck, Lee, Mary T, Amal, Marguerite, Louise, Kay, Kristen, and Mary, another Mary, and an Anon as well, anonymous person as well. Okay, so I want to include you in this decade as well, that we pray for your intentions, whatever they are, wherever you are at this time. Okay, Mike, final word to you.
Yes, I'd like to pray for my friend Rich Jesse's daughter, Magnolia, who is having a tonsillectomy today. So I think it's actually probably having it right now, but I just pray for a successful surgery, tonsillectomy, and pray for a speedy, healthy recovery for her.
Yes, and she'd be singing the praises of the Lord.
Amen.
Ever afterwards.
Amen.
That'd be wonderful. Okay, well, while we're all here, I suppose we'd better pray for Archangel Radio as well. We pray for everybody who works here. Sherry, Shannon, Ellen, Todd, everybody on the board, everybody who is a donor, everybody who's a sponsor, everybody who's ever listened to us, we'd like to lift you up. This little radio apostolate, which is you. It's you who are listening as much as me and everybody else who's talking here on air.
Kevin,
so we pray. Yep.
We can also add Elizabeth Hebe and Mike Church to that list.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Reed. I always forget our guests. Yes, let's pray for Elizabeth, the wonderful work she's doing down there on Dauphin Island with all those manatees. Yes, we've got Mike Church coming up in the next segment. We pray for him and his audience and pray for this station. Pray that it will do some good and let the Lord's will be done in it. So we lift all of this up in this final and fifth decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Mike, thank you so much for taking time out from your busy domestic and professional timetable to come in and pray with us today. I hope you'll be rewarded in lots and lots of ways.
Thank you for welcoming me and having it. And also, hey, Kevin, just really quickly, I thought about what you were saying about what you would say to somebody who's on the fence. And, you know, I would say as actors, you know, when you make a choice for a scene, you know, if you got to make a choice and commit to it. So go ahead and make a choice, no matter how silly, how crazy, how off the wall it is, and commit to it. You'll be glad you did. It'll make the scene better.
Absolutely. And that's wonderful advice. Good advice for an actor. Good advice in life. Commit.
Amen. Commit to it.
And listen, send Jennifer our very, very best. If she's really bored at home, she could always call the show, you know.
Will do. I'll let her know.
All right. Kevin. That was Mr. Mike Romano, senior producer here at Archangel Radio, and a very, very important part of our family here. Now, when we come back, we're breaking a little bit earlier today because we're coming back and doing a link up, a simulcast with the Crusade Channel. We'll have the King Dude himself, Mr. Mike Church, talking all things political in the next segment. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. I think we're all connected now. Is that Reed? Do you want to come on air and just say if we are connected or not now?
Yes, Kevin. I'm not on the air right now, but we are all connected, so we're ready whenever you are.
Reed, you are on the air. You are speaking to the Crusade Channel.
Yes, I am on Mike Church, but we're coming back on Archangel in just a moment.
So, Mike, that is my producer, Reed Hodges, who is a wonderful producer here at Archangel Radio, and he does what Maggie does for you.
Yay, you Reed!
Thank you,
there
everybody.
You go, Reed. Okay, so
well, if it's okay, Kevin,
with you, Mike, what we'll do is we'll have a little introduction music. I will introduce you introduce me, if you like, to yours.
Absolutely.
So I already know your audience, but I love them. Okay, Reed, we are ready to roll.
All right, Kevin, give me just a second. We will start. You can go ahead and bring
all
us on.
All looks good at NASA One. All looks good at NASA One, Roger. Coming forward with the side stick here.
What do you mean, Reed, what about the music? No, play the music.
Okay, so they're going to get their music and all that lined up, and then we'll be live in about 5 seconds or so, because it's 9:30, and they're on hard
breaks. I want you to hear
the
music.
Show here on the Crusade Channel, Live Talk Radio, the way it should be. You are hearing it today and are hearing it live on FM and AM radio in Mobile, Alabama, through Archangel Radio and the Turley Experience. Remember, you can always... many of you have communicated with, and you can write to KV. And we are actually putting together a Labor Day special in his kind of in his honor. It is going to be a sci-fi radio film festival. That reminded me, Justin, did you find the Twilight Zone stuff? All right, let's see if KV is ready for our simulcast.
I think we're just waiting for you to be silent, Mike.
All right, I will be silent, sir.
That would be a first. Have we played the music, Reed? I can't hear it at this end.
Yes, Kevin, we are back on Archangel Radio.
Apologies Woo-hoo! For anybody listening. You probably just heard Mike there, our wonderful guest this morning, talking. So welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live on Archangel Radio. And now we have joined up. Now, do you remember there are some of us old enough to remember the Apollo-Suez link-up in space? Well, this is the kind of radiophonic equivalent where the Crusade Channel and Archangel Radio slowly come together in the Earth's orbit. When I, as host of the Turley Frequency, connect with Mr. Mike Church, who is the King Dude and host of the Mike Church Show live every morning on the Crusade Channel. Mike, welcome to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio.
Kevin, welcome to the Crusade Channel and the Mike Church here on the Crusade Channel. And thank you very much. It is a pleasure and an honor to be back.
No, it's our pleasure and privilege to have you. Now, I have many, many questions for you. You probably remember the last time we talked, the primaries, both Republican and Democrat, were just beginning to form. The runners and the riders were beginning to line up. Now, since then, there has been some very interesting developments, not least on the Republican side. So do you want to bring us up to date on the runners and riders? Some have increased and some have decreased in the last month or so since we spoke.
Well, those that have increased, it's interesting that the more indictments they throw at President Trump, the higher his poll numbers go. As he was joking about on his Truth social media feed last week, he said, they've given me 3 indictments now, and I need one more to secure the presidency, just one more. So go ahead, Joe, indict me again. So the MAGA faithful here, those that voted for President Trump in 2016, again in 2020, those numbers are not dwindling. They're not going to down. I still fully expect that even if it is from a jail cell, that Trump will be the GOP nominee. The interesting thing of what's happening is who is it that moves into second place then? So if you look at that, it's clearly, numerically speaking, it's Governor Ron DeSantis. But DeSantis is not anywhere near taking Trump out in any of the early states where it matters. You know, I don't know for how many people know about how the process works in Republican primaries, but it's pretty much remained the same as it has been since World War II, and that is, or since at least in the 1960 election, and that is the kickoff event is what's called the Iowa caucus. Mm-hmm. And it's not a vote. You go to a actual polling place. You probably stay there most of the day and you caucus. You caucus for candidates, and whoever has the most amount of caucuses at the end of the day will then win the Iowa caucus. This is a great place to, it's a great place to campaign, and it's a great place. Right now, the Iowa State Fair is teeing up. Next week, the Iowa State Fair kicks off. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of the Iowa State Fair leading for second place in the polls. Right now, it's DeSantis, followed by Tim Scott, followed by Vivek Ramaswamy, followed by Nikki Haley. If I had to guess right now, I would say that it would be Tim Scott, who is a senator from South Carolina, who probably does the best in a place like the Iowa caucus, because he's very friendly. But then again, if you've ever heard Vivek Ramaswamy, you can't shut this guy up. I mean, once he gets rolling, Kevin, and he starts talking, there is no stopping him. He's the Energizer candidate.
Well, I'm wondering really about his candidacy. But before I talk about that, Mike, just on the Iowa caucus business, it's not, I mean, although a lot is made of it because it's the first of the primaries, I mean, it's not a kind of fatal blow if somebody doesn't do well in Iowa, or is it?
No, it's not a fatal blow. Okay, so the way it goes is, and they messed around with it because you want to be first. Florida wanted to be first and wanted to beat New Hampshire, but I believe that the order has pretty much been restored. So it will go Iowa caucus. And then the first big primary is the New Hampshire primary, which is ironic because New Hampshire only has 5 electoral votes. So this is not a state that you have to win the presidency. I mean, you want to win it, but you don't have to. And so they go to New Hampshire, and then that is an actual straight-up primary. It's a closed primary, meaning that only Republicans can run for the Republican nod, and only Democrats can run for the Democrat nod. Then they go to Florida, and then South Carolina, I believe, is the order. South Carolina is another big one, and of course you have two candidates from South Carolina. You have Nikki Haley, who used to be the governor, and who was Trump's Secretary of State for a year and a half. And you have Tim Scott, who was a Florida a South Carolina legislator, and he was a South Carolina senator, and then he was a member of the House of Representatives, and then he ran for the United States Senate, and he's a U.S. senator.
Well, just on that, Mike, because you've alluded to a number of these candidates, and also, you know, Mike Pence has come into the picture as well since we spoke last. When we spoke last, DeSantis was the person who seemed to be the dark horse, the person who was the possible contender, and Trump might. Now, the latest opinion polls that I've looked at, certainly on the New York Times, Trump is way, way out in front. I mean, to the point where you wonder why there's anybody else in the field. But nevertheless, we'll go through the field very, very briefly and very, very quickly, if we may, just because DeSantis has faded. And what do you put that down to?
Well, he's great. He's a great candidate. I mean, he's a great governor of Florida, and he's well loved and very admired and respected as a candidate or as the governor of Florida. But most people don't know this. But let me let you in on a little secret. This is the third attempt to elect a Bush as president. So this is old Bush family money. Karl Rove is probably running the whole shindig from behind the scenes. This is big old Republican Party, never-ending war, neocon as we call them, old war Bush family money behind DeSantis. People have smelled it, and they can tell that he has altered his stances. He's altered some of what he says on the campaign trail. He's being micromanaged and managed by those people that ran the same candidate or a candidate in 2016 that lost to President Trump, Jeb Bush. You know, he called low-energy Jeb.
That's
well,
right.
He's taken DeSantis and turned DeSantis into low-energy DeSantis now. So that's what's happened.
Okay, so the trajectory with DeSantis, you see him just sort of like one of those runners in a marathon. He'll just keep going towards the back. Is that how you see that working out?
Well, I don't think that he ever falls below second place.
Right. Interesting.
But it won't matter. It's not going to matter.
So, I mean, we have got quite a crowded. I mean, it's expanded. I mean, it was quite crowded when we spoke last, Mike, but it's got even bigger, the Republican primary field. But do you really think that the Chris Christies, the Larry Elders, Nikki Haley's, Mike Pence, watch your language, Mike, you know, that all of these are just also rans, I mean, including Vivek Ramaswamy, all just also rans? There's no chance that one of them could break out, that Trump could somehow trip up and suddenly somebody else is out there?
Well, first of all, scratch Mike Ispensiat in honor of Judas, American Judas, from that number. It's not going to happen. He is now being, he is reviled, and he is making more enemies. You know, he's in this because he doesn't want to actually have to work or be productive. So just scratch Pence. Does Vivek Ramaswamy and the others, why do they remain in? Well, maybe they want to be vice president.
That's
maybe
true.
They want to prove that they have staying power and that they can make it to the finish line. But here's the thing. Let me answer the question you asked, and I won't be a media guy or a candidate and avoid it. So can anyone beat Trump? Well, no. It's like Megyn Kelly, the now disgraced a former broadcaster, or who still is a broadcaster of sorts.
Right.
It's like Megyn Kelly said, when Donald Trump walks into a room, he sucks the life out of it. It all goes to him. And there's no undo. You can't teach it. You can't train anyone for it. There is no answer to it. There is no kryptonite to kill it. So when he goes into those rooms, when he's on those stages, he just commands. And that's just the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So can anyone beat him? No, I don't think Reagan could beat him. So Trump's the nominee, even if he has to run from a jail cell and then pardon himself. Should he win? No one is going to overtake Trump. Now, someone may overtake the hearts and minds of Republican voters as second place. Right now, it's not going to be Krispy Kreme. That's Chris Christie. It's not going to be any of those other. It's not going to be Asa Hutchinson. Nikki Haley, actually, I think, is a pretty good candidate. I mean, when she was on the stage with Tucker Carlson at that event they had in Iowa, I thought that she answered the questions as well as any of the other guys. So I wouldn't count Nikki Haley out. Right now, I'm betting on Vivek Ramaswamy for second.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. What about Chris Christie? He's got a lot of play over this side of the Atlantic. I mean, is he a bit, I mean, he's got some. Yeah, go on, Mike. Give me both barrels.
Well, Christie is an opportunist. He's already demonstrated that he is completely and totally, he is a shark. He's completely as a lout. He's already thrown Trump, President Trump, under the bus. He's not loyal. He's not a friendly guy. He's not very well liked. He won in New Jersey because the big New Jersey, and there is a big old, people don't know this, there have been many Republicans that have won New Jersey as governor. And Christine Tom Whitman won it. I'm trying to think of the one that won it after, in between her and Chris Christie. It used to be a Republican bellwether state. It's very industrial. It's very business oriented and centered. But Chris Christie was not a very well-liked governor. I mean, he did manage to survive his term. I do not think that Republican Party voters are going to warm to the likes of Chris Christie. He's no Rudy Giuliani, and they're from the same area.
So, cloth. So listen, I've had a note that we need to talk about Democrats as well.
let's do it.
And we are definitely. But I think what you're saying, Mike, which you predicted the last time we spoke, was that Trump was clearly ahead of the pack. That the only thing that was going to stop Donald Trump was Donald Trump. And so far, that hasn't happened. And the whole trajectory, as you say, interestingly, perhaps the challenge is for who can get enough credibility to be a potential vice president. Because I'm reading between the lines of what you're saying, Mike. I'm assuming Mike Pence will not be a vice president candidate with Donald Trump.
It will not be the second coming of Judas. It will not be Mike Ispensiat. No, that won't happen.
Okay, so let's turn to the Democrats. Now, of course, somebody who's got a lot of coverage this side of the Atlantic is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for obvious reasons. There's a lot of interest and a lot of bemusement about him because people are seeing somebody who is obviously a better candidate than the incumbent in the White House at the moment. And people are not sure as to why the Democrats are not sort of seizing somebody who looks like a winner as opposed to somebody sitting in a basement who doesn't know what type of ice cream he's eating.
Well, so you had the Camelot mystique which is the romantic period of when John Fitzgerald Kennedy was president and Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis was first lady, as we call her. So there was a mystique of the Kennedy family, America's or the Democrat Party's first family, if you will, kind of like American royalty. Obviously, there's a sympathy there because RFK, Robert Francis Kennedy, that's his name, RFK Jr.'s father, RFK Sr., was murdered as he was running for the Democrat Party nomination. Something my friend Joe Doyle of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts said to me in an interview yesterday that I had never heard, and he said that RFK Jr. said this, and why his father ran for the presidency. And he said, my father said, and no one has bothered to look this up or repeat it, but he said the main reason he ran to be president was so we could all find out who killed his brother, JFK. Wow. So there is a lineage there and a link between the Democrat Party and the Kennedys. But this is going to be severed. And it's going to be severed because RFK Jr. is not a Democrat. The only issue where he aligns with them, and he kind of takes more of a libertarian bent on this, and he is a Catholic, a practicing Catholic with you and I and many of our listeners, is that he has this libertarian line when it comes to abortion. And he says he doesn't think it's the place of the government. You know, the usual trope. Doesn't think it's the place of the government. It's a woman's right to choose and this and that and the other. And no regulations on this. You know, it's her, between her and her doctor and the usual stuff. So he has to check that box to get the nomination. But on everything else, on education or educating the public about vaccinations, on the food supply, on big ag, big pharma, the deep state, on almost every other issue, on the welfare state, as we call it here, I think you call it the same across the pond, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in opposition to the Democrat Party. He can't be their nominee. He only checks two of their boxes, and he only checks them because he's more of a libertarian. So here's what I think is interesting for our listeners.
Before we get there, Mike, because I really am interested in how this is all going to play out. But just to be fair to everybody, I mean, the candidates that are left then for the Democrats. The last time we spoke, there was that lady, I think, from California. Was it Marianne Williamson? You said that she was a non-starter, I think, somebody who wasn't going to make it. There was somebody else who I think subsequently has dropped out, who you also said was a non-starter. I forget who it was, but anyway, they are a non-starter. So that leaves us with Joe Biden. Just on the whole Biden, he has his problems. He has his family issues that are well documented or being increasingly documented by the media. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, you read these situations very well, I think, very astutely. Do you think that people are looking at Biden, maybe having quiet conversations with him, saying, you know, Joe, you know, you're 80-odd. Do you really want to go through this? You've got your family. You want to put them through it. Do you think those kind of conversations are happening behind the scenes? Or are we talking about somebody who's just so wrapped up with they spend all day reading their own press releases?
Well, first of all, the Biden crime family wants him to do it. They don't want to give their position up. So are they advising him to not do it? No. But here's the politics of it. And this is what our listeners need to know. C. Everett Dirksen once said that, you know, when you get to Washington, D.C., you'll find out that we make sausage and you get to see how it's made. It's not pretty. I'm paraphrasing. Here's how the sausage is being made. The Democrat Party cannot stand Kamala Harris. She has been there long enough. The woman is just a non-starter. She's not smart. And I'm not trying to be mean or rude or insensitive. She just isn't. She's not politically savvy. She's just nothing. She checked boxes for them in 2020 and 2020, and they want to get rid of her. Here's the problem, and they want to get rid of Joe. The Biden crime family problems are real problems, and they have a real chance of the big guy being indicted. Now, I don't think it comes to that. Because I don't think the Democrat Party wants it to come to that. And I don't think that Biden wants to go out as having been indicted. I think he thinks that he has some kind of a lineage or a legacy to pass on. So here's the big question, Kevin, and for all of our Archangel Radio listeners out there, ponder this one and tell Kevin and I how this plays out. Their nominee, I'm going to tell you who their nominee is. Are you ready?
Go on.
Gavin Newsom, Newsomabad.
Wow.
Gavin Newsom is the Democrat Party nominee for 2020. Mark it. You heard it here first. Just mark it.
Read, timestamp that. That is a prophecy.
Chisel it on a piece of concrete. Chisel it in stone.
Listen, if you have any questions for Mr. Mike Church, now's your moment. 888-928-0881 or text me. I'll ask your questions on 251-928-2111.
I've got it, Mike, chiseled in stone here, Kevin. I hope that they don't dig it up in a few centuries as an artifact of disaster.
Listen, they'll be playing that snatch of audio for years to come, saying, how did that man know what was happening? Okay, Mike, so listen, you've predicted the two front runners here, Newsom,
yes.
Trump.
Yes.
Talk to me about how that plays out nationally when it comes to the election.
Well, now this gets really interesting. So, well, first of all, they have to get Gavin Newsom as their nominee. How do they do that? Well, they have to convince Biden. Joseph Robinette Biden has to be convinced by hook or crook, as they say. Either you must resign or you're going to get impeached. So you must just say you have prudently decided you're not going to run for reelection and Kamala Lala is not an alternative. And then enter Gavin Newsom. I don't know which avenue they're going to choose, but I can tell you that the pressure is there. And the Democrat Party is in shambles right now as a result of it because they don't have a bench. Gavin Newsom is the bench. He is the future. He's young. The ladies think he's attractive. He's tall. He stands on a stage well next to Trump. He wins the state of California supposedly easily. He's not smart. He is, you know, he's Nancy Pelosi's nephew. So he comes from.
Yes, he comes. Is that right?
Absolutely. Wow. Comes from the Pelosi crime family. He, again, ticks all the boxes. That does not mean, because of those things that I just said, that he is electable. He's not very well known outside the state of California. He's not even popular in California. Remember, they had a recall petition, and they actually almost got him recalled. So, but they think that he's the stopgap. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. What do you now do with Robert Francis Kennedy? Do you actually let RFK Jr. debate and go toe-to-toe with Gavin Newsom? And if you do, well, then you're going to run the risk of Republicans going back to the Democrat Party and voting in Democrat primaries to nominate Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. And as I said, they can't have that. So they have a huge hurdle here to get over. And now let me give you the kicker.
Yeah, please.
If they do to RFK Jr. what they did to Bernie Sanders, then I predict that RFK Jr. goes third party and runs for the presidency as an independent candidate anyway.
Wow. That's kind of where I was about to head, and you've already jumped there already, Mike. That's fascinating. Just answer me this, though. There is an outlier in this scenario, which I have heard from people who know about these things, okay? So these are Americans who are well-placed, who comment on politics, and they've been quietly telling me that Michelle Obama is in the frame for the Democrat nomination. Do you think there's any credence to that?
Nope. I think that's a fundraising scam that they use it and they keep the Obamas front and center to try to keep some of their fundraising up.
Right.
She is a terrible public speaker. She's just not very. She's Hillary. If you want to nominate, why not just go back and get Hillary? There's a little bit different in appearance, but pretty much the same, cut from the same cloth. I do not believe that in any way, shape, or form. And I do not believe that the Obamas want their now very sordid and very well-documented public or previous history. I do not believe that they want that aired in a campaign.
Okay, so we've got the scenario then where we have Gavin Newsom on one side, President Trump on the other side, perhaps Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the middle, maybe a third party insurgent. What happens next? What's the Mike Church prediction here? I'm loving this.
Trump wins. Trump wins by a narrow margin. He carries enough states. He may not get to the threshold was it 235 divided by 2, 268 electoral votes. That's the threshold. There is a precedent for this. It has happened in the past. It could get thrown into the House of Representatives, which I believe will still be in Republican control, which is why they're walking very, very gingerly on that impeachment. Kevin McCarthy is a smart, very well greased and very well disciplined politician. He's a better speaker than Paul Ryan ever thought ever was, or any of the other ones. And he's a lot better in that speaker role than anyone gave him credit for. McCarthy is not going to endanger his speakership with this thing with Biden, which is why the impeachment hasn't happened yet. So it's a three-way. Newsom loses, Kennedy loses, Trump wins. It may go to the House of Representatives, and Trump is elected president, POTUS 47.
That is incredible. Now, the only thing I would say against that is that is there not going to be a lot of pressure on Robert Kennedy to drop out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And do you think that's going to have any impact on him?
Well, you have to remember the Democrats and through the CIA, or maybe the Republican, whoever, the deep state killed his uncle. Deep state killed his father. These people are the same ones that are running the deep state and the parties today. Now, he thinks he can save the Democrat Party. If he doesn't get the nomination, he's failed. Why does he need to remain a Democrat? By his own admission, his own purpose is to save, his words, not mine, save the Democrat Party, or restore the Democrat Party. He's going to fail at that because they're going to make sure that he does. So then why does he have an incentive to remain a Democrat?
You know, Mike, listening to you, there's a horrible inevitability about all of this, that it's not going to end well one way or t'other.
Oh, no. Oh, no. this will be more divisive than Brexit for you.
Wow. Listen,
and it may last as long in its divisiveness as Brexit has lasted for you.
Is there no chance that Robert Kennedy gets the Democrat and comes through and maybe takes the presidency as well? Do you not think that's a more likely scenario than the one you're
thinking? I think he has a better chance to beat Trump than Biden does.
Yeah.
Or than Gavin Newsom bad does. But no, I do not believe they can elect Robert Francis Kennedy anywhere near the presidency and the leaves of power. He's a non-interventionist when it comes to foreign policy. He's a peacenik. As I said, he doesn't tick any of their boxes other than the two, which are the two social moral issues, homosexuality and abortion. That's the only two boxes he checks. Yeah. So no, he's not one of them. He just isn't. And by the way, his uncle and his father could not be nominees to today's Democrat Party either.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Well, because both of them, RFK Jr. Was ardently pro-life and was bucking the family trend. It was said that JFK may have been cajoled into it, but we'll never know, will we? Because it wasn't an issue in 1962. So the Kennedys, before Edward M. Kennedy, the uncle, came out as the biggest big name Democrat to go pro Roe versus Wade, pro abortion. The two Kennedys were both pro life. They were pro marriage. They were pro heterosexual marriage. They were both Catholics.
Right.
You can say they were bad Catholics. Well, so am I.
I wouldn't say that, Mike. Neither would any of your listeners. Listen, unfortunately, Mike, we have run out of time on Archangel Radio this morning. It's been absolutely fascinating, as always, getting your take on the latest swamp goings on up there in D.C. Tell people where they can find out more about your radio station. But also, congratulations. I hear your podcast is doing very, very well out there.
It's picking up some traction, and it is the New Christendom Daily podcast. You can find it easily on Apple's iTunes app, or go to my website, mikechurch.com/Apple. And, of course, you can find me hiding in plain sight 5 days a week. Whenever Kevin Turley's not on, I am on crusadechannel.com. But you got a good one there, and Kevin Turley and Divine Mercy Chaplet. So when Kevin's not on, or if you're looking for an alternative, here we are at crusadechannel.com.
This is the voice of the King Dude, Mr. Mike Church, 32 years radio host?
32 years, yes. 32 years younger.
How do you do it, Mike? 32 years.
Well, as I was saying earlier, you have to love it, and we must be brothers in arms in this. And we lock arms together, you and I and our other fellow live broadcasters out there, and we stand in solidarity for the reign of the social kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's how you do it.
Amen. Mike, it's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure having you on the air again. I hope you'll come back and speak to us soon.
I so look forward to it. I'm counting the days down.
Okay. That's it from us here on Archangel Radio from the Turley Frequency today. We'll be back
tomorrow. Folks, that's all the time we have.
Same frequency. Same me. Until then.